Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For Christians, life is like paradise. As you embrace Christ in your life, your problems become opportunities, heartaches turn into joy, bad times fade into the past. Your career succeeds like it never has before. Your relationships with those around you are all enhanced and are just always positive. Unkind words that were once directed at you no longer make their way to your ears. Temptation still assails you, but it retreats each time in dismay. Money is no longer a problem because you always have more than enough. You no longer have those health problems that used to trouble you. As God's special person, He spares you from all pain and every problem. Well, does that sound too good to be true? If it does, it's because it is. If being a Christian is really like that, then all of us must right now be wondering whether we really are, in fact, true Christians. Although our walk with Jesus throughout our lives does indeed bring us many blessings, yet the evil one, the tempter, the devil, does not just roll over and play dead while we follow Christ in our lives. Instead, he continues to dog us and attack us as we make our way through our lives. Following Jesus in our lives brings difficulty. As we struggle each day to suppress our sinful self-centeredness and instead strive to serve God and to serve others. As we look at the gospel reading today, we see that the Apostle Peter had a problem. Jesus was saying things that Peter didn't really like to hear. Peter didn't become a disciple of Jesus with the expectation that Jesus would suffer and that he would be rejected by his own people, and that he would finally be killed. Those things were just not at all a part of Peter's game plan. And so he took Jesus aside and he began to rebuke him. We can imagine him saying things like, "Hey, wait a minute, Jesus. What are you saying? Don't you know that there is a better way for your ministry? You just demonstrated your power by miraculously feeding thousands of people from just a little bit of food. Use that power. Use your power to drive out the Roman oppressors from our land and to restore your kingdom of Israel to the grandeur that it experienced under the glorious kings David and Solomon in the past. And remember, Lord, that those of us who are closest to you, we gave up everything to follow you. My fishing business is now all gone down the drain. So you can be sure that we are fully committed to helping you rule the world." But Jesus interrupted Peter, and he rebuked Peter harshly, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have your mind set on the things of God, but the things of men." And then Jesus called all of his disciples and the whole crowd together, and he taught them, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. After all, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" The answer, of course, is that it's no good if we gain the whole world and lose our soul. There's nothing that is worth exchanging for our soul. But those are difficult words to hear. Surely they were very difficult words for Peter and the other disciples and followers of Jesus to hear. And they are also difficult words for us to hear as well. Peter was anxious to be on the winning team. And now Jesus here was talking like such a loser. From Peter's later behavior in the courtyard of the high priest on the night before Jesus died, we see that Peter didn't fully understand what Jesus was saying until after Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus was saying that winning means losing. You must be willing to turn your life over to God for his use, and so in that way to lose it in order to effectively share the good news of life with God. Yes, to win life with God, you must be willing to put yourself second, to lose your selfishness, and to carry your cross. To be a Christian means being willing to lose for Jesus' sake. And as we struggle in our lives to be what we are, to be children of God, as he has called us to be through baptism and through faith in Jesus, that is often hard and painful to do. Jesus himself suffered, and his followers also suffer. And so we too have the privilege of suffering. One of the more famous Christian pastors of the 20th century, the German theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer, was persecuted by the Nazis for resisting their influence in the Christian church in Germany, and also for speaking out against the atrocities that they were committing on many people. And then in 1945, he was martyred, put to death for his faith. Before that, he wrote this about the Christian faith. He said, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." Perhaps more than any of us here today, our Christian brothers and sisters around the world who face persecution and repression from Islamist groups and governments and from communist governments, perhaps they, more than any of us, really understand the meaning of these words of Jesus to us today. Some of these Christians are severely persecuted for their faith. Some are ostracized by their families and by society. Some even die because of their faith. By comparison, we here in the United States have it rather easy. Yet, those who are actively serving the Lord and seeking to carry out the great commission that Jesus has given to us, we often experience exhaustion over the long hours of toil. When we don't have the success that we'd like from our best efforts at ministry and evangelism, we might begin to wonder whether it's really worth all the effort that we put into it. And when we encounter prejudice and scorn and mockery from other people because of our faith and because of our efforts to live according to God's will, we might wonder whether following God's will in our lives is really worth all that negative treatment from other people. Young people especially face ridicule for trying to live according to God's will, especially in regard to sexual purity and use of various controlled substances, use of language. The ethical business person today is usually not the richest person in the world. An honest politician is, if elected at all, is often only a one-term public servant. Faithful spouses are sometimes viewed as being rather prudish and boring people. Blowing the whistle on corruption or illegal practices in your workplace might lead to being fired or demoted in your job. As we follow God's will in doing what is right, rather than what is easy or expedient, others often look at us in disbelief, and they might treat us differently, negatively, as a result. But in the midst of any persecution, prejudice, or scorn that we face, we remember Jesus' words in the gospel today. "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The early Christians considered suffering for Christ not as a burden or a misfortune, but as a great honor and a blessing, because in their suffering they could bear witness for Jesus. Tacitus, a non-Christian Roman historian, wrote about some of the early Christian martyrs that mockery of every sort was added to their deaths. They were sometimes covered with animal hides and thrown into the arena, torn to pieces by ravenous dogs, sometimes nailed or tied to crosses and left hanging to die, sometimes even burned alive. We are told that many of those early Christian martyrs went rejoicing to their deaths, as if they were going to a marriage feast, which indeed they were, as we know that God promises that heaven will be an eternal marriage feast as he is united with us, his bride, the church. So those early Christians marched gladly, joyfully into the arena of their deaths, as if they were marching through the gates of heaven itself. In the early 2nd century AD, when Ignatius, an elderly martyr, was about to die for his faith, he cried out, "Nearer the sword, then nearer to God. In company with wild beasts, in company with God." Now, let's be clear, we're not saying that anyone should seek out an adventuresome or somehow glorious death. Rather, we're saying that the Christian life does often involve suffering. And when that suffering comes, we shouldn't be surprised or overly discouraged by it, because Jesus himself told us that this would happen as a result of living in this sin-filled world. So our text ends with this warning from Jesus. He said, "In fact, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Now, those words might cause us to be ashamed right at this moment, as we look back on the years of our lives in the past, or perhaps just on the days of this past week, and we think about times when we have not always been proud to stand up and be counted as a follower of Jesus. And so we know that because of that record of our actions, we do indeed deserve for Jesus to be ashamed of us before his Father on the last day. But elsewhere in Matthew's gospel, Jesus makes this promise that whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Winning the crown of life means losing our selfishness for Jesus' sake. And we know that for all the times in our lives that we have failed to deny ourselves and failed to take up our crosses, failed to follow Jesus according to God's will, we look to his cross for forgiveness. We look to his empty tomb for the assurance that God the Father has accepted Jesus' payment on the cross for all of those sins of ours. And so we know that we now stand righteous and holy before him. And we know that we are now empowered by his Holy Spirit to live our lives according to his will, however difficult that is at times.